Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Tuesday, April 30th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Alaska's tour industry expects more people to visit the state this year. More and larger cruise ships are on their way, bringing visitors through Southeast and across the Gulf of Alaska. Many tourists continue north, riding and flying to the Rail Belt and on to places north and west. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld takes a look at the season and one of its attractions.
Exhibit curator Jackie Manning is confronted by some imposing figures every time she enters the Alaska State Museum's main gallery. They're well-armed, well-armored mannequins displaying years of carving by Sitka Tlingit artist Tommy Joseph.
And when you first walk in, you're met by all six of them, and they're up, and they have this presence that I think really gives you the sense of, you know, what it would be like to encounter these warriors in life.
She points to one of the figures with an abalone-eyed helmet, shelled protective neck gear, and the historic equivalent of a Kevlar vest.
Every time I see it, it just leaves quite the impression. Because it's fully dressed with the slat armor and the collar and the tunic, and it has the bow and the arrow as well as the dagger, it's just such a beautiful example of all of the armor, you know, on one figure.
The museum is a popular Juneau tourist destination, catering to cruise ship passengers and independent travelers, as well as locals. This season's visitors will also view Kay Field Parker's Raven's Tail Weaving and Nicholas Galanin's contemporary Tlingit Aleut art.
I think the three shows really work together very well and are going to give all of our visitors a great impression of the kind of artwork that's done in Alaska.
The museum is but one of hundreds of attractions and excursions ready for Alaska's 2013 tourist season.
It looks excellent.
John Binkley is president of the Alaska Cruise Association, which represents Princess, Holland America, and other large ship lines sailing Alaska waters.
It looks like this will be the first time since 2009 that we'll get back above the 1 million mark for cruise visitors coming to Alaska.
He says the ships will bring nearly 70,000 more visitors north this season. They'll come aboard 28 large ships, one more than last year. And three lines will send larger vessels, making close to 500 separate voyages.
The indications that we've gotten are that the prices are holding steady, which means that there's less discounting, and usually people that are a little more affluent than coming to Alaska this summer. So that should be good news for retail merchants, as well as those who have shore excursions that hopefully people purchase when they get off the ship.
The industry is cautiously optimistic that it'll be a great summer and total visitor season.
Sarah Leonard is president of the Alaska Travel Industry Association, a statewide tour business group.
Last summer, we know that visitors reached 1.8 million in Alaska, and that was the first increase we saw in over 4 years. And then with some new service being offered for this summer in new airline service and new cruise ship berths coming to Alaska, we see positive growth.
Back at the Alaska State Museum, dozens of Kay Field Parker's Raven's Tail Weavings are on exhibit in a summer show called Playing with Lightning.
Lightning is one of the patterns. It's a triangle pattern that repeats, but it reverses.
Exhibit curator Jackie Manning describes Raven's Tail as highly geometric. The technique was out of use for about two centuries before being rediscovered in the 1980s. Manning says Parker's work follows tradition with some variations.
The traditional colors were white and black and yellow, and the majority of Kay's work kind of reflects those traditional colors. And then based on materials, because they're so hard to come by for weavers that do this kind of work, she's also has some other colors that she's introduced.
This is the final summer exhibits will be on display in this aging museum. It will be torn down next year and eventually replaced with a modern structure, including the State Library and Archives. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Sitka's numbers are down again this year. Fred Reeder of Cruise Line Agencies of Alaska says about 105,000 passengers will visit Sitka this year. Last year, the number was around 114,000. Sitka hosted about 2.5 times that number in the peak year of 2008, when nearly 290,000 people were delivered to the community by ship. Several canoe groups are paddling down the Inside Passage to Wrangell for the Shakes Island rededication event this week. Two canoes traveling from Juneau hit bad weather and rough water on Saturday. The paddlers are okay, but one canoe was lost. KSTK's Shady Grove Oliver has more.
Both canoes left Juneau on April 24th. They were each accompanied by a support boat. The Raven Canoe belongs to the One People Canoe Society and has paddlers from several Southeast communities and Washington State. The second canoe is from the Sea Alaska Native Corporation and has a Yakutat-based crew. The crews hit bad weather and high seas in Seymour Canal on Saturday. Both decided to put the paddlers on the support boats and tow the canoes. Alicia Chilton is on the board of the One People Canoe Society. She's also a paddler on the Raven Canoe.
When we went to turn, there was a little bit, the line slacked in, and all the water from the back of the canoe rolled forward, and that's when she just went down and the line broke, and we watched her drift away from us.
Both the Raven Canoe and the Sea Alaska Canoe snapped their tow lines and were washed away. The lost Raven Canoe was spotted on a rocky shore where it had beached itself. It was retrieved safely at about 2 p.m. on Saturday. The Sea Alaska Canoe was found about 2 hours later. The plan was to tow both canoes to Cake, where they could be inspected for damage, repaired if necessary, and sent back on their journey. The Raven Canoe made it. The Sea Alaska Canoe did not. During the recovery, it broke free of its tow line for a second time. As of this afternoon, a search and recovery effort is in full swing. A Juneau-based plane for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game was sent out. A second plane from Petersburg was also dispatched. There was a possible sighting of the Sea Alaska Canoe this morning. Wrangell Cooperative Association staff member Renee Claggett is helping coordinate efforts in the water. She made contact with crew member Jay Dodge of the Silver Bay Seafoods tender Lady Kate this afternoon.
Yes, Lady Kate, go ahead.
Roger, roger. Okay, the report is from the pilot that it was upside down and actually went up during a high tide. And since it's falling tides now, that it's probably safe. If anybody has the boats are moving in for the Seymour herring fishery, if they could just keep an eye out for it. So if you could just maybe put the word out on the fishing fleet there as they come in, just to have people keep an eye on that. And if it does get into trouble, maybe somebody could grab it and let us know.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah.
The Sea Alaska Canoe's life vests were also possibly spotted in the area known as the Rock Garden in Seymour Canal. Meanwhile, the Raven Canoe and its crew arrived in Cake late Sunday afternoon. The Sea Alaska crew made it to Cake as well. And Chilton says everyone is coming together to make the best of a harrowing experience.
What's happening now is that the Juneau and Yakutat crew members, we've got a total of 18, will be rotating through the Raven Canoe. So Juneau and Yakutat are combining into one now.
The Raven Canoe is expected to arrive in Wrangell waters on Wednesday. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Shady Grove Oliver.
The Raven Canoe is set to leave Cake for Petersburg this morning. It had to delay its planned departure Monday morning because of bad weather. Paddlers from a Sitka canoe are lending them paddles to continue the journey. Construction on Alaska's first state-funded private veterans housing facility is underway. The Sobolov McRae Veterans Village in Haines celebrated its groundbreaking ceremony on Saturday. The village is being created in order to provide permanent affordable housing for veterans of all ages from any branch of service. It will have 7 two-bedroom apartments and 4 one-bedroom ones. The complex will provide on-site supportive services and office space for healthcare organizations, counseling, and independent living resources to support veterans. Residents will be able to move in about 18 months to 2 years. The state of Alaska provided $6.1 million for the construction of the facility, but the nonprofit corporation that will run the village, Haines Assisted Living Incorporated, is trying to raise money through grassroots fundraising efforts. Petition booklets are ready for the group behind an effort to repeal an oil tax overhaul in Alaska. Division of Elections Director Gail Fainumiai said in an email that half the booklets were delivered to the division Monday, with the balance expected today. She said the referendum committee was expected to pick up the first booklets today. According to Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell, the group Vote Yes, Repeal the Giveaway will have until July 13th to gather at least 30,169 qualified signatures from across the state to get the measure on next year's ballot. The legislature this month passed an oil tax cut as a way to boost investment and production. Critics say there are no guarantees Alaskans will see anything in return. The city and borough of Juneau has launched a website in order to promote green energy and sustainability. The webpage is just one part of the city's climate action plan, which hopes to reduce community-wide greenhouse gas emissions by 25% by 2032. The Juneau Commission on Sustainability is running the site. The commission was established in 2007 in order to advise the city. The site offers Juneau residents tips on how to keep energy costs down, limit greenhouse gas emissions, and give them a list of businesses that are efficient energy suppliers. It even includes a downloadable Microsoft Excel document that residents can use to see how much they are spending on energy. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And here's a look at Sitka's own weather. Today, it's going to be mostly cloudy with scattered snow showers, changing to scattered rain showers in the morning. Highs around 43, south wind 10 miles per hour. Tonight, rain showers likely in the evening and then rain developing late. Lows around 37, south wind 5 to 15 miles per hour, increasing to the southeast 15 to 25 miles per hour late. Gusts to 35 miles per hour late along southern Baranof Island. Wednesday, windy and rain, highs around 45, southeast wind 20 to 30 miles per hour, becoming south 15 to 25 miles per hour in the afternoon. Thursday, rain with highs around 47, southwest wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Friday, rain lows around 40, highs around 48. And Saturday, rain is likely with highs around 47. And a quick look at the tide table. We will have a low tide of minus 1.2 feet at 11:13 this morning and a high tide of 8.5 feet at 5:50 this evening. KCAW, Sitka.